simple awareness. Just meeting this moment. The truth of this moment. Just experience arising. Just experience ceasing. Perhaps the mind is at ease with the truth of this moment. Relaxed, calm, patient, allowing. If that is how the mind is, aware of that. At times, habits of mind or conditions creates resistance, struggle with what is happening. That too is simply the truth of this moment. Struggle is happening. Complication is happening. Resistance is happening. Opening to that, if that is what's arising. At times when wisdom is strong, when there's a momentum of awareness and wisdom is strong, simply the seeing of a resistance or a struggle, simply the wisdom recognizing struggle is happening. Resistance is happening. Sometimes awareness and wisdom will naturally release that struggle, resistance, complication. We can sometimes see that happen. See wisdom doing its job of releasing dukkha. Experience the shift of that release. Oh, just resistance falling away. Sometimes there can be an understanding, wisdom kind of articulates or lets us know what it is understanding. The impermanent nature of the experience. The dukkha nature. The unreliable, the suffering nature of the experience. Or maybe the not-self nature of experience. Sometimes it's like wisdom talks to us. Wisdom sees a pattern arising, releases it, and somehow perhaps the thought arises in that moment, something like, that's not me doing that. And so there's the expression of wisdom in that moment. That arising thought is not the wisdom itself. It's more almost of a perception or a recognition of the wisdom working. And it's not necessary. Sometimes what we experience with strong wisdom is simply that there is release. We understand release has happened. Just understand that wisdom has been working. The practice is simple. Just meeting this moment. With more momentum of awareness, we begin to trust that we don't have to do the abandoning. We trust wisdom to abandon reactive patterns of mind, confused patterns of thought. We trust wisdom to do its own work, to do its job. When awareness is strong, when the momentum of awareness is strong, sometimes the experience is one of being, maybe a sense of being carried by the momentum. We don't have to work to be aware. Awareness already happening, experience already known. Sometimes with that momentum of experience, a lot of detail is revealed. The complexity of the workings of our mind is revealed by this simplicity of awareness. And sometimes when that momentum is strong, experience can also feel extremely ordinary. Awareness can know and be with our experience in our ordinary way of navigating the world. Just opening to what is actually happening in the moment. How is awareness receiving experience? Is it receiving it in an ordinary way? Is it receiving it in a very detailed way? Is it receiving it in hovering, hanging out with something for a little while? Just allowing awareness. With that strong momentum, we can also trust the awareness to do its job of receiving without our interference. Just awareness and wisdom. Doing their jobs. with this momentum of awareness and wisdom, learning to trust that wisdom will release. Rather than us having to be involved in the release of a clinging, it can take some time. There seem to be places in practice where the momentum of awareness and wisdom is strong, and there's a kind of a way that a little bit of sense of self almost feels like it's needed, or that it can help the release along, let's say. And it can be useful at times to have the sense of, oh, there's something happening, you know. Oh, there's a contraction, there's a craving. And this can be released. You know, there can be a little sense of a doing of the release, a conscious saying, yeah, I don't have to stay hooked to that. And that, for a period of time in practice, is really helpful. And then there can be a deepening of the trust there, where we can begin to recognize, oh, there's contraction happening, there's craving happening. Let's just watch it unfold. And then it just releases, without any sense of my participating, a sense of self, a sense of me being an agent, of my participating in that process. It's just watching this natural, like waves crashing, like, you know, the way a wave comes up and then flows out, and a wave comes up and flows out. It's like that. There was a period of time in practice where I was really kind of noticing a lot of spaciousness and relaxed mind, and then there would be these moments of like the mind kind of collapsing and squeezing down on something and feeling the kind of stress of that. And there was a stretch of time where it would be like, oh yeah, there's that, and I can let that go, I don't have to do that. And so there would be this like, oh, okay, let go. And that happened a lot. You know, it's like, oh yeah, there it is, just let it go. There it is, just let it go. And at some point, wisdom helped me recognize, wisdom helped the recognition that, well, there's awareness of this, let's just see it. And within, it's like just like a split second after I would have done something, wisdom let it go. And there was a deeper kind of release with that, letting the wisdom do its job, rather than an agent of me getting involved with doing that job. So these are edges of trust in our practice, beginning to be curious about wisdom doing its job, allowing wisdom to do its job. There's also a kind of a way, and when awareness awareness and wisdom gain momentum, there's a way that the momentum of that mindfulness just seems to stop picking things up. It's just such a tumble, such a rapid, all of the processes of our body and mind doing their work without needing involvement. And there can be some really subtle ways that our conditioning picks up objects, not so much out of greed or aversion, but just habitually to recognize something. And there's a deeper, with this momentum of awareness and wisdom, there can be a really deep feeling of just not picking anything up. And yet still able to navigate, know what's happening, because perception and consciousness and feeling are doing their jobs without a sense of self thinking, oh, I need to recognize that. It's so subtle. It is so subtle. I participated in a study around a 3-month course at one point. They gave us an activity to do before the 3-month retreat, and we meditated for 3 months, and I got to do this the second half, like before I even broke silence. I don't know how different it would have been if I'd done it after I'd broken silence. I think it would have been pretty different, actually. but this the experiment was exploring the way perception works, and there's what they call, I can't remember quite exactly what it is, an intentional gap or something like that, where when the attention rests on something and the mind actually consciously recognizes it, there seemed to be a pretty, you know, what they thought was a hardwired amount of time in which you could not recognize anything else, that the mind couldn't consciously recognize anything else. And it was a small amount of time, you know, it's like quarter second or something, a pretty small amount of time. So they thought this was a hardwired activity, a brain hardwired activity. And yet these people wondered, gee, I wonder if meditators can, like, you know, see things more quickly than we think they can. And so the study was, they put you in front of a screen and very rapidly changing numbers. It was just a single spot on the screen where there was changing letters and numbers very, very rapidly. My experience was, you know, not that it was just changing rapidly here, but it was like seeing things fall through that little space. And so there was, in this stream, in a particular time, in that stream, they said there would be one or two numbers, and my job was to recognize what the numbers were. And they changed so rapidly. The first, I don't know, 5 times, I did not see a number at all. But then the mind began to, you know, having this agenda, you know, the mind began to be able to pick a number out of it. And the experience was very interesting, because as soon as the mind saw a number, that number froze the whole stream. It's like it hovered there for a quarter second, maybe even longer, just gave me enough time to, like, type in what the number I saw was. So it was like, there it is. I knew that's not what was happening, but it was a very visual kind of experience of seeing the numbers stay there. Sometimes I saw one number, sometimes I saw two numbers. At the end, at first I saw the, you know, the hovering there, but I just, you know, it's like there was, the mind was just relaxing. The mind was just so relaxed. And so it would like it would hover a little bit and then just continue. And the mind could see both numbers. And they had actually not told the truth. There were always two numbers, but the second number was sometimes embedded within that attentional gap. So, so fast that little hover thing, that's the second. If the second number appeared while that first one was hovering, I wouldn't be able to see it. But after the 3-month retreat, the mind just let go of that perception just so fast that it could pick up on the second number wherever it was in that gap. So this was like a real kind of wow, there's a subtle like holding on even to just a perception. Not out of a greed or aversion, but just kind of the habit of how our processes work. Not even out of a belief that I need to hold on to it. It's just, it's just the functioning of our mind. And yet there's a little bit of that, just extra work. And so I think that this like momentum of mindfulness can let go of things at such a deep level, we can't even fathom how deeply the mind can let go. And so this trust to really not have to be involved with the doing, even of perception, the doing of helping wisdom along to do its job. And we have to have some discernment about this, because there are definitely times when the momentum of the defilement is stronger than the momentum of the wisdom. And there can be a sense of an agenda that's connected to a sense of self that's kind of like, yeah, I'm not going to follow those things. I'm not going to do those things. And that can be a real support for the cultivation, the development, the growth of our practice. And yet there's a time in our practice, there's that sense of self that's helping wisdom grow. At some point, we have to let go and let wisdom lead. Let wisdom do its work. And that's like another level or edge. I talked the other day about edges of trust, where we have trouble letting go. And this is one of them. Just recognizing when the mindfulness and wisdom are strong enough to do their own work. It's another moment, another infinitely changing moment. May you enjoy many of the moments.